This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Russ Williams. Russ is the Chief Operating Officer of Seattle Children's Hospital. Seattle Children's is one of the great pediatric health systems in the country. I'm going to talk today about the role of technology and the role of COO, what he's seeing in terms of strategy, what's exciting today, and a little bit more. Russ, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes, as you mentioned, Russ Williams, Chief Operating Officer at Seattle Children's, have been here about 4 years, spent time at Riley Hospital for Children in Indianapolis and with the Fairview, now mHealth system in Minneapolis for 17 years before that.
And take a moment and talk to us about technology and the role of COO. In the old days, the role of COO was, you know, a lot of status meetings, a lot of walking around, a lot of trying to keep the trains running on time. And I assume the role is still a lot of trying to keep all the trains running on time and things being done at the highest quality level and so forth. But how has technology changed the way in which a COO operates?
Yeah, I mean, so many different ways. Obviously, not enough time on this to get into all of them. But as I was thinking about this question, you know, the highlights that I would pose, I mean, number one, obviously, just the last year, technology has allowed us to actually continue to, you know, to be safe and appropriate during the COVID pandemic, you know, but things like WebEx and Zoom and Microsoft Teams allowing us to continue our work, even though we're not in the office anywhere near as much. So there was, you know, that piece of it that's really, really been wonderful. The other element that I would add to even something as simple as video conferencing, conference calls, et cetera, is so many of health systems and even smaller healthcare, we're getting so much more regional. It's not just one place anymore. So technology really allowing you to be more engaged in those sites that are off of, you know, the quote unquote main campus, but allow you to interact and see your team members. Seattle Children's has locations in Anchorage, Alaska, in Great Falls, Montana, in, you know, the Tri-Cities of Washington, distances that are pretty significant and that I just don't get to on a regular basis. But with technology, actually able to, you know, to interact with people and really be able to touch base and have hopefully them feel part of the team and certainly feel like I'm, you know, connecting appropriately to them as well, given that the care that we deliver there is just as important as the care we deliver anywhere else. The other big element that I would say from technology that I rely on is just the developing analytics. We're lucky enough to have an unbelievable analytics team at Seattle Children's, and the information that I have on a day-to-day basis to help me make decisions, to allocate resources appropriately, to know where to focus, to know who to congratulate and who to celebrate is really just unprecedented. I have arguably more information at my fingertips, you know, morning to morning than I can handle often. But it's wonderful because rarely am I lacking for accurate, up-to-date, you know, data to really influence decision-making.
And when you look at all that data and the potential for information overload, how do you assess what data to look at? How do you decide what are the most important things to look at?
Boy, you know, a very, very tough question, you know, and I would say probably not as well as I need to. And it's one of those ongoing, you know, challenges to really, really understand, am I looking at the right things? We have really tried to focus on outcomes, to not get overly hung up on rewarding ourselves for effort, but really understanding what are the key drivers that are getting us the outcomes, the quality, the safety, the experience, both for patients and staff. What are those core things that really, really drive the outcome and the result that we're looking for? And so, you know, we use the driver diagram tool pretty frequently as well to try to focus in on those most important pieces that are actually driving to outcome. But that's it's an elusive target sometimes because there's so much of healthcare is so multifactorial.
And take a moment on how strategies evolved. You've touched on this already with sort of being able to do more regional work, even though, you know, off of a main hub or potentially a hub and hub or a hub and spoke, whatever you might call it, but to broaden the scale of what you're doing based on technology and so forth. But talk for a moment how strategy has evolved over the last year or two.
Yes, well, clearly launched from, primarily in person, in an organization that kind of dabbled in telemedicine, to being, 20, I think the last report I saw is 24% of our ambulatory visits are being delivered via telemedicine. And that's actually something that we plan on continuing in perpetuity. There are, for the right appointment type, there are tremendous advantages to the patient and to the family. We cover, I think it's 24% of the landmass of the United States when you look at Alaska and Montana and Idaho and Washington. So the distances that some of our patients have to travel are pretty incredible. Having the opportunity for them to be able to connect with their provider on a high quality visit without having to leave the comfort of their home or their community is just tremendous. And it reduces certain barriers to care. Now, it introduces others, I get that, but it reduces many, many barriers to care or hassles to care that many of our patients and families have had to deal with over time. So again, it's something that we plan on, number one, figuring out how to get better and better and better at so that we are delivering that high quality, very, very safe care every single interaction while meeting the patient as close to home as we possibly can.
Fantastic. And talk about how COVID has impacted Seattle Children's, meaning the operations, the patient experience, and so forth. What are you seeing now, and how back to normal is it at this point?
We're approaching normal, but we're certainly not there. So the shift to telemedicine with our ambulatory was probably just the single easiest thing to kind of put a finger on of the impact that COVID had. And another thing, which at the end of the day is a good thing, but we didn't experience anywhere near the normal viral season that we would have normally experienced. As a tertiary quaternary hospital, we certainly deal with flu, with RSV, but more often we're dealing with flu and RSV in already ill children, children that might be going through cancer treatment or organ transplantation or some other compromise of their system, which makes flu or RSV a much more serious condition for that child. We just didn't see that this year. And so that's been a really, really interesting shift in operations. Now, we've seen acuity in a number of other areas increase. And so we've been relatively busy, but all of that without a viral season. And so when we look at next year, if we were to assume that we go back to a normal viral season potentially and have the same level of business that we've had so far this year, that's something that we've been paying very, very close attention to from a space, a staffing, a capability standpoint to make sure that we are always prepared to deliver the care that the children in the region need.
Do you think less of an other type of viral season because so many people vaccinate, because so many people out of school? Is there any sense of why that is?
Well, and again, you're talking to a non-clinician, and so I will be parroting back what I've heard from, from those that are much more knowledgeable on this subject than I am. I would argue that in the state of Washington, we really have not had in-person school until the last weeks. If I had to guess, I would say that was the number one reason that children weren't in school, weren't in daycare in great extent, and therefore didn't have that opportunity to share some of those germs back and forth one with another, leading to that viral load. And again, increased hand washing, masks, opportunities where people weren't gathering, weren't spreading, that would be my best guess.
Thank you. And as you look at the rest of this year, I'm going to ask you one more question about technology in a second. But first, I'll ask you, what are you most excited about the rest of this year?
You know, this is an interesting, I mean, and I'm not 100% sure that excitement's the right word, but I will tell you the focus of the country, let alone our organization, on truly becoming anti-racist is exciting to me, because there are so many things that haven't been done, again, and I'm talking as a country, let alone as an organization, just a heightened awareness, a heightened level of conversation, of interaction with our staff. It's painful because of the things that haven't changed and that are still, you know, where they are as a country. And certainly feeding into our organization, but the passion towards it, the focus, the commitment, is in a place just broadly that I've never experienced before, and it's the right work, and I'm very, very, very excited about how Seattle Children's is approaching that.
Magnificent, yeah, just fantastic. And the last question. And such an important discussion dialogue for our entire country. Talk for a moment about maybe the three pieces of technology you use the very most every day. You know, and it could be sort of what do you use personally the most every day in terms of technology. And it's I assume it's not some huge system. I assume it's something basically that you touch every day. But what are the three or four pieces that you touch every day the most, use the most?
Well, sure, yeah, and again, you're talking to, you know, a guy that spends a lot of time in an office and in meetings, so it's probably relatively boring. But I mean, I have my normal, when I'm at home, I have my laptop, I have my iPad, and I have my iPhone as the three key pieces that kind of keep me connected. Pretty similar in the office, and you know, a lot of the even our meetings when I'm in the office, we're still staying separate and doing most things through WebEx, and so I have a Cisco device and or my iPad to do the video conferencing with, my normal computer. Now, if we're looking at kind of, you know, where I'm spending my time, I certainly spend, you know, always on email and the, you know, Microsoft Office suite to be able to do that. And then within our analytics product, you know, looking through our dashboards, being able to drill down and again, understand day to day, sometimes hour to hour, depending on what the topic is, you know, the operations. And that's really the technology that I spend my day using.
And is there a specific outsourced analytics product, or is it all internally developed? And if there's something that you are thrilled with that's an outside product, would love to hear the name of it if you're willing to share, but you don't have to.
No, we do almost all of ours through the Microsoft suite, products like Azure and other elements within Microsoft. We have a wonderful partnership with them. Luckily, they're right down the road, and so we've done that. But the dashboards themselves and the analytics behind them, we have developed internally. Suzanne Spencer, a couple of the folks on our team that are just absolutely masterful. Wendy Sood, I shouldn't have started mentioning names because now I'm going to leave somebody out. But when we present to them an operational issue and say, look, this is where we need consistent data that's broadly available, they've just been masterful at be it mining our Epic electronic health record, our Lawson system, you name it, they will go and find the appropriate source, pull it and you know, slice and dice it the right way, and then present it in a way that is then the kind of the definitive source for that information, so that we're all, you know, singing off the proverbial same song sheet and not looking at 14 different, you know, presentations of what's supposed to be the same data.
Magnificent. Russ, I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Just a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.